In today's news headlines, a spokesperson for the World Health Organization has said that the United States could become the next epicenter of the coronavirus pandemic. There are currently 46,500 confirmed cases nationwide, with nearly 600 deaths. That's the third highest total globally after Italy and China. The WHO's Margaret Harris told reporters, "We are now seeing a very large acceleration in cases in the U.S., so it does have that potential." She explained that over the past day alone, the vast majority of new cases of infection, 85%, were either in the U.S. or Europe. In fact, more than 100 people died in the U.S. on Monday alone. The New York Times, in recording the pace of deaths per country, concluded that with 534 deaths in total in the U.S., the rate of deaths was doubling every 3 days. The states of Washington and New York have the highest death tolls so far. The state of California now has more than 2,000 confirmed cases of infections, with a death toll of 43. In Los Angeles County, where testing has accelerated, infections are being found in large numbers among young people. 42% of infections are in those aged 18 to 40. California Governor Gavin Newsom says the state anticipates needing 30,000 more hospital beds than it has. Experts are now pointing out that major testing missteps in the early days of the virus's spread has deeply set back the U.S.'s approach to the pandemic. According to the Associated Press, in the critical month of February, as the virus began taking root in the U.S. population, CDC data shows government labs processed 352 COVID-19 tests, an average of only a dozen per day. More specifically, the setback was because of, quote, the early decision not to use the test adopted by the World Health Organization, flaws with the more complex test developed by the CDC, government guidelines restricting who could be tested, and delays in engaging the private sector to ramp up testing capacity, combined with messaging from the White House minimizing the disease that fueled a lackluster response that missed chances to slow the spread of the virus. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump appears to be moving in exactly the wrong direction at the wrong time, pushing for businesses to reopen sooner rather than later in a desperate bid to salvage the economy, which he sees as his ticket to re-election. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the trustworthy scientist that had become the face of the Trump administration's response to the virus, did not appear at the White House press briefings this week, further fueling fears that Trump is ignoring the advice of experts. In remarks to Fox News on Tuesday morning, Trump appeared to justify any deaths that might result from the virus's spread if businesses reopened.
Look, we lose thousands. I brought some numbers here. We lose thousands and thousands of people a year to the flu. We don't turn the country off. We lose much more than that to automobile accidents. We didn't call up the automobile company to say, stop making cars. We don't want any cars anymore. We have to get back to work now.
That's Trump speaking with Fox News on Tuesday morning as he angles toward pushing for a restart of the U.S. economy as early as next week, in direct opposition to the advice of experts. Some other Republicans are echoing Trump's approach, with Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick saying this also on Fox News.
And, you know, Tucker, no one reached out to me and said, as a senior citizen, are you willing to take a chance on your survival in exchange for keeping the America that all America loves for your children and grandchildren? And if that's the exchange, I'm all in.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo responded to this bizarre calculation, saying the following during a press conference.
Yeah, my mother is not expendable. And your mother is not expendable. And our brothers and sisters are not expendable. And we're not going to accept a premise that human life is disposable, and we're not going to put a dollar figure on human life. The first order of business is save lives, period, whatever it costs.
Meanwhile, the United States Senate continues to battle it out over a $2 trillion coronavirus relief bill, as leaders Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer promise a deal is close at hand. At stake is a $500 billion fund, one quarter of the cost of the bill, that is being set aside for corporate loans and loan guarantees. That does not even include an additional $50 billion that would go toward passenger airlines, $8 billion more for cargo airlines, and an additional $17 billion for firms that are deemed important to national security. The White House has reportedly agreed to oversight of that fund through an inspector general. President Trump indicated he wants some of it to go to the cruise ship industry in Miami, Florida, not far from where his own resort is based. In electoral news, there is growing pressure from both major parties to include in the bill funding for a vote-by-mail general election this November. Democrats have requested $2 billion in emergency funding for expanded demands for vote-by-mail. Although federal Republican officials are opposed to the funding, at the local level, election officials from both parties are united in the need for the additional dollars. Sectors of the United States economy are indeed on the verge of falling apart as millions of American workers fear layoffs and their employers going bankrupt. Airline workers are deeply worried about their jobs as well as about the hazards of working while the virus is spreading. Local free weekly newspapers are in danger of completely closing down as they rely on physical distribution and ad revenues for events. Meanwhile, charities are facing a huge crisis of massively increased needs in their communities, but few volunteers available to help as they navigate lockdown orders. In immigration news, the Trump administration has halted court proceedings for asylum seekers after a coalition of immigration judges and lawyers demanded a pause in order to enforce quarantines. The decision delays application processes for those people who are being forced to remain in Mexico, as per Trump's policy. And at the U.S.-Mexico border, even though immigrant arrivals have dropped off, thousands of active duty troops and National Guard troops remain, at a cost of about $500 million to taxpayers so far. The International Olympic Committee and Japan have decided to postpone this summer's Olympics that were due to be held in Tokyo. Athletes and others had expressed growing concern over the pandemic. They hope to move the globally popular games to next summer. In non-COVID-19 news, the Trump administration is continuing its deregulatory agenda, including the Environmental Protection Agency requiring that all scientific data, that includes classified medical data, be published in a bid to disqualify most scientific health studies. The U.S. Supreme Court issued two major rulings, a 6-3 one that allows states to disqualify an insanity defense for those criminal defendants with mental illnesses, and a 9-0 ruling raising the bar for racial discrimination claims in lawsuits. And finally, the state of Colorado has joined 21 other states in just abolishing the death penalty. And that does it for our headlines today.